I had this sudden inspiration, and I started writing more notes. I don't do that. Don't do that. It's like, that's when we, Yeah, and so all of a sudden it was like, I got to write that down. I got to write that down. Another thought. That, and you say, so that's what happens to you. That's why sometimes you go longer. Yeah, it'll just hit me. And it's like, I need to write this and write that. And the first thing you know, this was printed. Now, if you can see it, see all that writing on there? I was just whizzing out these notes over there. It's like, I got to write that. I got to write that. I got to write that. And all of a sudden, it's like, that's two more Sundays worth. What are you doing? So, last week, we talked about spiritual darkness and Jesus overcoming all these things. And I didn't get to finish but the first point. So I decided not to make it so much a part two. Is just start another message. But I want to share about this, is this stuff's critically, seriously important. And so I'm trying to get my thoughts together because I was just writing some heavy notes, and thought, I got to share this. So let's start this today. Last week we were talking about Jesus is supreme over all creation, but today we want to talk about Jesus being, he's the Lord and he's the head of the church. We got to remember that. And let's talk about the church, this whole thing. I want to come out of Colossians. We had Colossians chapter 1. I'll hit you with that real quick. But no, this is just a brief overview, but I want to get to Colossians chapter 2 is where I'm actually headed. And so in Colossians chapter 1, it just talks about, and I'm just working in here, you who were once Jesus reconciled, he delivered us from all the kingdom of darkness, it says, and conveyed us. In verse 13 of Colossians chapter 1, it says, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. You need to keep that in mind. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, one of the things that I want to bring out that I really emphasized last week, catch what it says. When we read scripture, we have a tendency, like reading anything, we pick up certain points that we've heard before, and that's what registers with us. But pick up the things that you've heard, but they're not as emphasized as much. And it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And so those who don't believe, and I'm not saying there's anyone here like that, but there are in other places. I've had people say to me many times, I just don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe that God, a loving God, could send anyone to hell. Anybody heard that in here? Ever had that thrown in your face? I'm sure most every pastor has, all of us, and we'll get to that in a moment. And anyway, it says the power of darkness. So what is it telling us? We've been delivered from the power of darkness. What you need to, and what we catch here and remember is that we have been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we all hear that. What I need to emphasize to you is, what were we before we became Christians? We were in the power of darkness. And who owns the power of darkness? The devil. So there's a devil, and there is a power of darkness. It's right here in Scripture. And we need to remember that, because that power of darkness is trying to overcome God's light. That's the war we're in right now. Don't look at all the political stuff, but look at the fact that is only a that's surface stuff. That's symptomatic. What the real root of the issue is, the power of darkness is trying to establish itself on this planet, in this country. That's what's happening. And it's trying to creep into the church universal. It's trying to stomp out two things that we are to the earth. And what's that? Jesus said, you're the light of the world and the salt, right, of the earth. And that power of darkness is trying to water down that salt to where it has to be thrown out, and it's trying to cover the light of Jesus Christ. That's the battle we're in. And so there's a power of darkness, and when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're delivered from that power of darkness into God's kingdom of light. But don't forget that power of darkness, it has not been destroyed. It's still there. And that's why, this may help you a little bit to understand, this is why you battle dark things all your life. Because there are certain sin habits, certain things that you have born into, your family was that way, or whatever you got yourself into, and it cycles around. And I've talked about sin cycles before, and these things will cycle around, and you think you're freed from it, and you may be freed from it for days, weeks, months, a year or more years. And then has it happened to you? And then one day you think you're free from something, and all of a sudden it's so overpowering, and you're going, what in the world? Why is this back in my life again? Everybody's had that, haven't they, in one form or another? If you think you've whipped something in your life, just hold on. You're going to have to whip it again and whip it again. The thing is to know that, you know, and here's what happens. People, then they call me. That's when I get the calls and say, could we meet? Can we talk? Yes, we can do all that. And that's when I'm confronted with, you know, Pastor, am I saved? What's going on in my life? I asked Jesus in my heart, and I've been a Christian so many years, and then all of a sudden there's this thing, this overwhelming temptation comes at me. Have I lost my salvation? Have I fallen? You know, no, you haven't. That's what happened. It's the power of darkness, and we're challenged. Wherever you've had a weakness, you'll get challenged again. Have you ever noticed that? Two or three of you have. The rest of you are still praying about it. Okay, so if you have had a weakness in your life, whether it's drinking or overeating or all the things it could be, You'll defeat that, and you move to something else, and you're going along, and then you just suddenly have an overwhelming urge. It's like, what's wrong with me? Anybody ever thought you lost your salvation maybe, or something's happened to you because you're fighting something? Absolutely. Well, you haven't lost your salvation. I'll tell you what, you're being challenged, and the power of darkness is trying to come back. He can never possess you, but he is sure trying to put out your light. He's trying to get you to fall into something, commit some kind of sin, get yourself all, and then you got all the guilt and all the stuff, and that you're, you know, and all the remorse and the whole thing in your life, and you're so focused on that, and it dims your light, and it waters down the salt. And so, friends, listen to me. Stuff happens to people. Christians have to keep battling all their lives. I know that doesn't make you joyful, but spiritual warfare is a kingdom thing, and while you're on this earth, you will battle a spiritual warfare all the time you're here. And the closer, when I prayed a while ago, in a sense, you know, I wasn't doing you a favor. Because when I pray for God to fill you with His Holy Spirit to overflowing as rivers of living water, and when I pray for you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love each other and your neighbor as yourself, you say, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Yes. You say, well, why would you say you weren't doing us a favor? Because without saying it, I invited the enemy to come and get after him. That stopped this because I prayed for you to be close to God, and he's going to try to keep you from it. Everybody follow me? But I'm going to keep praying for you to be close to God. I'm going to keep praying for myself, but that's the key to it. Keep praying, because when I pray those things, I know it's like, Tony, he's going to come after you for praying that. And it's like, well, I'm not scared of that sucker, and as long as God's people keep praying for me, he can't do anything to me. So keep each other prayed up. But when you pray to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, you pray, God, help me to be more loving. Give me a heart of love. Help me to be more righteous and live a more righteous lifestyle. You ever done it? I mean, really got serious? Did you have obstacles all of a sudden? Somebody you didn't even expect is just acting up, and you're going, what is this? It's because this little worm comes back and tries to get in your life. And he makes me mad, and I want to, if God will let me, and he won't. But, you know, when you finally get up there, I'm going to ask him permission. Can I go over there and just lay one on that devil? I just want to knock him flat. Don't you? For all he's done. You know, this is for this, and this is for this. You know, and God's smiling now, saying, it ain't going to happen, because I'd have to let you go over into hell to do that, and I'm not going to do that. And then I'm saying, well, thank you very much. I don't want to wade that river either. But, you know, it's sure a good thought. So here it is, and you need to grab that. And then we have this redemption through his blood. But just know that's why you're seeing what you're seeing. This nation has been the nation with all of its hang-ups and all of its hurts, and you hear this, but it's true, this nation has been the nation that God has used more than any other nation to help the world. We've fed the world. We feed the world. We've given billions and billions and billions of dollars helping other nations. This nation comes to the aid of other nations when they're in need. They don't come to our aid. But we keep giving. And we keep doing. We keep shipping grain. We ship what we have. I mean, it's amazing. If you ever go and just do some research, it'll knock you over at what the United States of America does for the rest of the world. And so to take us down takes the world down. To bring this country into darkness puts the whole world into darkness. Most of it's in there already. So that's why it's so critical. You believe and understand this spiritual warfare. You believe in Jesus Christ. Don't back up from this. It's too critical. This is serious, serious stuff. And so today, what I wanted to hit on, I want to begin right here in verse 13, that we're delivered, and just kind of reiterate that and through 18. And all things, listen to this, all things, it says, were created. Christ is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. Everything was created by Him. I'm paraphrasing. You can read this. I hit some of this last time, so I don't want to go back over it all. But listen to this. And it's thrones and dominions and principalities or powers. It says all of these things. Things we see, it says, and the things we can't see was created by Him. If you're going to ask me, why did He create things we can't see? I can't answer you. I can't answer that. God does not give that answer here in the Scripture. And for me to try to answer that, I'll tell you what I could do. I could be like a lot of these guys and write you a big book. And I might, you know, that's tempting. I could write a book on it and tell you all about it. And I'd be just out here lying like a dog. There's a lot of books out here that will explain everything. How many books have you read on prophecy and over the last 20 years written by some big-time people, and not one bit of it came true? Jesus has come so many times I've lost count, and I haven't seen Him yet. Have you? And I've said it before, but there are a bunch of well-known personalities that's written book after book and made millions that would not be here today. They would have been stoned to death had they been in the Old Testament days. Because they write these books and make a ton of money on them, and it didn't happen. And I say to myself, as well as any pastor, any author out here, anybody doing anything, if you don't know, don't say it. Don't you be blowing off your mouth or writing a book on something just to make money and get everybody all stirred up, and then it doesn't happen. You remember when 2000 came around? Does everybody still remember that debacle? And the books that were written and all the stuff on that? I can't believe we're even here. Can you? The world should have stopped. There were books on, tons of things. The computers are just going to, that's it. And God said, watch this. Let me show you know-it-alls out here, just what God can do. But I'm rambling. Let me get back to this. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and that's what I want you to grab today. We're going to start there now for today's message and move to some other passages. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He can have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. And you can read all this. And He said through Jesus, He's going to reconcile all things, by the way, in heaven and on earth. All things. If you read further in Scripture, and you read over in Ephesians, you take Colossians and Ephesians. By the way, just know this. One day I'll go into this further. Colossians and Ephesians need to be worked and read together. When I was working on the exegetical part of this, and I had to take Colossians and Ephesians and do a word-by-word, verse-by-verse translation from the Greek. It was part of my doctoral program. And those two books, I had to do a literal word translation. Try that on for size. It only took 5 years to finish the blasted thing. But I quit twice. It was like, and I'm not, you don't hear me quote a lot of Greek, and I'll tell you why. if you're from a place called Possum Kingdom and you try to use that accent to pronounce Greek words, it's hideous. It just, no way. But anyway, so I had to translate. But what I did learn, and this is, that's why it was assigned. This is part of your project, you know. Oh, dear God. Both of them, both books. But here's what came out of that. I learned that Colossians and Ephesians work together. One explains the church and how it came about, and the other one, Ephesians, tells you how to live it. And it's fantastic stuff. So when you're reading in Colossians or Ephesians, remember, go back and forth and study, and you'll find out one tells you how it came to be on all the spiritual warfare and how Jesus delivered us, and then Ephesians gives you the practical outline of how you're supposed to live. Ephesians tells you how the church is supposed to look and to be. And it's cool stuff. But you need to know Colossians to understand to get Ephesians. So that's just a little tidbit. You can go out and tell people that and make a lot of money, write a book on it, do whatever you need to do. So let me give you the rest of this. In Colossians chapter 2, so I can get into this message, this is important. In verse 13, it says, "You, being dead in your trespasses, uncircumcision." This is a New King James. "He's made alive together with him, with Christ, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Is everybody hearing this? He has forgiven you in Christ all your trespasses. What is a trespass? Any violation of God's law. Any sin you've committed, he's forgiven you in Christ. And it says this, "He wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." So he, not only that, but it says all these requirements and all these rules and regulations that the Pharisees, that all the Sadducees, that everybody had written, all these man-made rules, all this stuff that was just sending people away from God. How many times do you have to wash your hands to be ceremonially cleaned? And tons of procedures to go through that because man had written this in. And Jesus nailed all that man-made junk, man-made religion, he nailed it to the cross. Isn't that fantastic? You say, well, yeah, I guess, Tony, if you're excited about it, okay. But here's what he did. He wiped all this stuff out. Now, read the next thing. This is important. He not only wiped those requirements out, he disarmed. Look at verse 15. "Having disarmed principalities and powers." So what did he do? He disarmed the devil. He took his battlement away, his weaponry. The devil is nothing but a roaring lion. He's toothless. Listen to me. He can't devour you, Christian. Do you get this? He made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them in it. You say, is that important to me, Tony? Really? Here's what happened. If you've looked at Roman history, of course, everybody studied Roman history. That's all we sit around and do. Okay, so when they captured a king, they captured an authority, they captured his army, they paraded him through the streets of Rome. Everybody know that? The commanding officer, the big guy on the field, the Roman officer in command, who conquered them. And they were a conquering people in those days. He was in a chariot, and he would go up and receive his laurel wreath. But he would lead all his prisoners, especially the high-ranking officers or the kings or who they captured, in procession. Those people were stripped. Now, here's the humiliation. They stripped them naked. They didn't have a stitch of clothes. They had to walk behind that naked. He uses this illustration to say when Jesus rose from the dead, he died on the cross and rose from the dead, he took Satan and stripped him bare. And he exposed him, and he exposed all of his demonic servants. He stripped them bare, and if you pray for spiritual insight, you can see everywhere that devil's lurking, and you'll have discernment to see what he's up to all the time, because he led him publicly stripped bare, and that's important for us to know. You keep that in mind. If you want to see the enemy, ask God to give you that insight to say, I don't want this darkness in my life, because you can see it. You have power over him. He's already been disarmed. He is not as powerful as people try to make him out to be. That's why he used this illustration. Paul was constantly, God used him writing all this stuff. he used a lot of military illustrations, and so he said he has made a public spectacle, and we don't get that. Triumphing over him. So what does he say? He said Jesus led the devil stripped bare and all of his demonic army right through the streets. Well, you know, whatever, metaphorical, but you know, the celestial street. He said he exposed him. He knocked him out. And that gives you that authority in Jesus' name, like it says in Luke 10, to cast out demons, to walk among snakes and scorpions, and crush them. Crush them, it says. And he said, I give you power over all the authority of the enemy. Is this good stuff? This is where we're at. So, but let me get into this now. So that's what we're into. And so this whole thing is Jesus is Lord and he's head of the church. I hit on that a little bit yesterday. No pastor is head of the church. And if I was in other denominations, I'd say, excuse me, but no body of elders or deacons or whatever is the head of the church. We're all servants. We're all servants. Nobody should, using this term, and you've heard it if you've been in other denominations, run the church. Isn't that something? You ever been in a church where somebody ran the church? You had a group and you had to meet with them. You had to get approval. I've been there. You know, you had to go seek the approval of a certain body of people. You know, can I have new postcards? Can I get new stationery? Well, we'll pray about it. Why do you have to pray about doing God's will? You know, we'll pray. Have you ever been put off with that with Christians? You ever been in a place where, you know, the standard, hey, would you do this or that? I'll pray about it. And they've been praying about it for 10 years and never have given a commitment. How long does it take to decide? And I think that's the old standard get out of it Christian deal. I'll pray about it. It's like, and you know, I've gotten any more over the years. Somebody says, you know, will you do that? Unless they are specific, say, you know what? I'll tell you next week, but I want to really pray. That's cool. But when I just get that, I'll pray about it. It's like, never mind, I'll ask somebody else. Just tell me you don't want to do it. It won't hurt my feelings. Tell me you're going to pray about it does. And everybody, you know what I'm saying. So here, listen to this. We know the enemy's defeated. He's stripped naked. But now get this. He's trying to come back and bring this spiritual darkness back. And Christians, here's the catch. If you don't realize your power and authority that Jesus has given you over him, you'll let him sneak back in. And we've been letting him, and he sneaked into a lot of churches. There are a lot of churches this morning, meeting right this morning throughout our country. And they're having a big old grand show. And I mean, it is a full-blown act. And there's lots of music and singing and carrying on in about 15 minutes of hearing the Word of God, if you want to call it that. Now, that's a social gospel, and the devil loves it. Because nobody is being changed, transformed. Nobody's being challenged. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't like to do it either, but it's my calling. Sometimes I've got to preach messages that convict people and confront people, and myself included, with our sins. And if you don't do that as a pastor, you're not preaching the Word of God. There's encouraging messages. You can make any message encouraging, but you've got to confront the truth, and because it's the truth that sets you free. And that's the way it is. And so you can go and feel good and feel good and feel good, but there's going to be a lot of people feeling good until they just go zipping right there because they never understood. Christianity is not about feeling good. Christianity is about being good. Christian good. Jesus transformed good. So I'm not harping on anybody. I'm not out here to get anything. I'm just simply saying, you know, friends, the devil is trying to come back at us. And let me give you three things about spiritual darkness. You ready? Of course you are. Everybody's taking notes. Here we go. First thing about spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness does not appear as darkness. It appears as light. Listen to me. When you confront someone or you're in the presence of someone in spiritual darkness, they think they're the most enlightened person on the face of the earth. They know it all. They see the truth, and they will tell you you're the one that can't see. You just don't get it. A person in spiritual darkness is walking in a, listen to me, a deceptive light. They are actually seeing in their darkness. You follow me? They're into knowledge. They're into education. They're into science. They're into everything that again that anything but God, but Jesus Christ. So spiritual darkness appears to be light to those who are in it. Secondly, the deeper you move into spiritual darkness, the brighter it seems. You don't feel dark. Listen to me. When someone is getting, just a Christian, when you get out of fellowship with God, and you know this. We've all had those times, but you know, or most of us, that you know, when you were out of fellowship and you really messed up and you moved over here, but you thought you were in the light. You didn't realize until you were convicted just how dark you were. Everybody else knew it, but you didn't. It just got brighter and brighter. In your rebellion, and that's what's wrong right now. There's so many people, and they're convinced they're in light, and actually they're surrounded with darkness. Does everybody follow me on this? I'm not trying to complicate it. It's just that's how deceptive it is. And let me give you this third one here real quick. People in spiritual darkness are violently defensive. You know when you're confronting a person in spiritual darkness because they get violent in their defense of where they are. And there's more, but I want to give you those three things. And then let me grab something here because it's over in 2 Corinthians. And this kind of explains this. If you're still kind of going, okay, this is a new grasp on this, about this light, about those in darkness, and it's a light to them. Let me read to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is where a lot of people, if you miss this, you get it all fouled up. We'll begin with verse 13. Please read more. I just don't have time to give it all. But look at verse 13. He's talking about such are false apostles, right? He's talking about false apostles, deceitful workers. But look what they're doing. They're transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. He said there are people of the devil who are making themselves look like they're in the light. And they're fooling people, but it gets better. And no wonder, and here's the key, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Is that scary or what? And so he's saying that the devil transforms himself into an angel of light, and you say, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, let's get this. We'll just get down dirty and personal for a minute, right? And you don't raise your hand. You can point at someone else if you want to, but you don't, okay. But you ever known anyone that got into sexual sin, okay? You know, I'm not looking, don't point. But anyway, and so, the person, because I confront this is brought to me, this is probably the number one thing brought to me more than anything else, and this happens in life. Okay. But I'm using this, and it's uncomfortable, but you get what I'm talking about. Has anyone that's ever been tempted to sin sexually ever looked at the person that they're tempted with and said, oh, what an ugly cow? With me? Didn't it look good? Didn't that temptation and that sin look good? As a light? You know? And have you ever looked, you know, and you're going to sin with a guy, and then do you ever look at him and say, oh, what a wild boar hog. Oh, look at his tusk. No. I mean, when you're going to, listen to me, when you're tempted to sin, doesn't the sin look pretty? Juicy? It looks like the best medium rare sirloin steak that you could buy. And I mean, really good. And sometimes, you know, you can even see the butter melting and running off the sides of it. And you can smell the aroma of that medium rare, you know, and it's just coming into, and you can smell that hot buttered roll and all the vegetables and your mouth just watering. That's what sin is like. It lures us in that way. It comes as an angel of light. It doesn't look ugly. And I'll tell you, everybody read Dante, or you ever read any of the Dante stuff? That's where the image of the devil came from, with the pitchfork, you know, and the pointed tail. He doesn't do that. He comes as the most handsome guy, the most beautiful woman. He comes as the greatest business opportunity. Oh, this is the best investment you'll ever make. Money just rolling in. You can't lose. You with me? We have this image in Christianity that the devil can always be recognized because he's ugly and he's got his pitchfork. He doesn't come with a pitchfork. He comes smelling good, looking good, dressed to the nines, and he is ready to rock. And that's how he sucks people in. And that's why you and I need to pray and must pray for spiritual discernment, so we can see through his little, and it's a real thin exterior. And once you see through that, you go, ooh, there's claws attached. Has anyone ever known anyone that found this out the hard way? Okay, thank you. There's one honest man back there. You're close to that side. I expect it on this side of the pole over there. Okay. He's close enough. He's leaning against it. We all know this, don't we? When you don't mess up because it's ugly. You mess up because it looks too good to pass up. And that's how he comes, as an angel of light. And I'm sharing this because there are people right now preaching the word, supposedly, teaching it. There are people right now running for office, whichever side you want to look at. But you better look through what the outside is and all the words and the rhetoric, and ask God, give me a discerning spirit, Lord, and direct my attention. I want you to show me, God, what's not being said. I want you to show me the character of this person. I want you to bear witness or not bear witness with who they are or not. God, deliver my eyes, deliver my senses, my physical part of me from deceiving me. And God, I know now the angel comes, the devil comes as an angel of light. He's not going to show himself as the wickedness that he is. And so his servants aren't going to look terrible. I need to see through the veneer, the outside, and see what's on the inside. And friends, you need to do that, not just out there in politics and all that. You need to do it everywhere you go. And God, don't let me be deceived by looks or dress or finances or a whole bunch of scriptural talk. Let me tell you something. Outside of Jesus Christ, that nobody knows the scripture better than the devil does. He can quote it verse by verse. The problem with the devil is he's in his own darkness and he doesn't understand it. Because if the devil understood the truth of scripture, he wouldn't have killed Jesus at all. Think about that. And putting Jesus on the cross, he got his own head crushed. So it tells you he doesn't understand how Scripture works, but he can quote it. What did he do to Eve? He twisted it. He twisted what God said to get her to sin. And how many of you have ever gotten in a mess because of somebody twisting something? And if we're real honest, how many of us have ever gotten in a mess because we twisted it a little bit? Okay, there's an honest man in the back. But yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've fallen for things, and then a little twist of scripture and a slide of the hand, and all of a sudden you're in it. And so what is all this about? It's to say, friends, Jesus Christ has given you a power, and you can see through. So don't anymore think that when we talk about spiritual darkness, it's a big black dark, you know, beast out there. It's not. It's not Bigfoot. You're just not going to see the devil as old Bigfoot. He's not going to stand out. You have to be discerning and be in this word, and because he's trying to come as an angel of light, and that's how he fools a lot of people. But he's not going to fool you, is he? Because you know better. And you know how he comes. You won't see a pitchfork. You'll see an offer being made that's too good to be true. And I've often had people, you know, tell me, you know, and it's true. You know, just mention, say, Tony, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So watch it. Watch it. Just watch it. And so let me wrap this up. I got a few notes here, but I wanted to get this main part out. And it's like, you know, so when we say Jesus is the head of the church and we look around, you look around this building right here. This is a great place. And I'm very grateful to y'all for letting us meet here. This is fantastic. We have a good relationship and have for many years, and it's great. But all of this is not the church. And you say, yeah, we know. No. Do you really realize? Because there's so many people who right now, they will tell you, I'm going to church, or I'm in church, or I went to church on Sunday. What are you talking about? You went to church? And I've heard people say, and I'm not, you know, don't, you know, we've all done it. You know, and I've even said it myself in the past, you know, and many years ago before I grasped this, you know, boy, I hope the Spirit's moving this morning in church. You ever prayed that? Lord, I pray I can go to church and just get the Spirit. And it's like, what do you think? He's hanging off these rafters? Where do you think the Holy Spirit is in here? He's on these little lights across here. Every one of those is just a little facet of the Holy Spirit. And He's just going to wrap you in that light. And it says, Jesus is the head of the church. But what does God's word say about the church? It says, your body is the temple, the church of the living God, the church of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, if you want the Holy Spirit to move in church on Sunday, please bring Him in with you. And if enough of us bring the Holy Spirit in our hearts, overflowing from us, you will have a spiritual breakthrough, and the Spirit will move mightily. That's the power of God, is when God's people walk in here and assemble together and they bring the Spirit. They're bringing the presence of Christ. They're not bringing the world. We're not wrapped up in all the garbage that we're hearing and watching on TV. We come in here and we're purposed. We're focused. We're aiming at Christ. We came to glorify the Lord and to love each other and encourage one another, and the Spirit is free. And you have those times when it just comes together, and you say, I've had people say, there's times, Tony, it's just like you're almost aglow up there. Do you think that's just me? That's because the presence of the Lord came in the presence of His people, and we brought Him, and I can't help but be filled with it. It just covers me up. And that's church. That's the way it's meant to be. That's when it's good. That's when it's that medium. I'm just really wanting a medium rare steak so bad. I keep going to that. I don't know why. I've been deprived or something. And I just keep craving hot butter. That's one of the, that's a heart stopper. But it's still, you know, just a ribeye, a medium rare with, oh, golly. Anyway, let's get back to this. Is it lunch? Yeah, it's getting close. Okay, I got to wrap this up. There must be something going on. The church is you. You are the body of Christ. Do you realize what that means? Jesus has given the church His authority, and we think that's a building thing. Jesus has given you His authority to crush the devil, to overcome all the powers of wickedness. He's given you the ability to see through the angel of light and recognize His wickedness, His crookedness. And if you'll listen to Him, listen to me. This is really getting out there, but it's the truth. If you will listen and you'll walk in His Spirit, and when you sin, we're all going to sin, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but confess it instantly. I mean immediately. Don't let it wait. Don't just confess it. Stay in fellowship. You do that, you won't make bad purchases. You won't get any further in debt. And God will show you how to get out. He will begin to show you how to love other people, how to give. He will. He'll bless you in your tithing. He'll multiply your income. I'm serious. He will. He promises to do this. Just let Him have control of your life, because this body is His temple. This is where the Holy Spirit lives. And listen, I want you deserve for me to walk in this place and my head not be full of the stuff of this world. You deserve, you need for me to come in here and be filled with His Spirit, because you don't want to hear my opinion. You want to hear God empowering His Word coming through this pastor so that you walk out of here spiritually fed. That's what it's about. And I want to give that to you. And that's why I ask for prayers and want you to understand all this. Jesus is the beginning. He's supreme over all who rise from the dead. He's delivered us from darkness. And He's put us in the light and made us salt. We're it, friends. You've got everything. You just need to recognize it and take it out there and take it to Him. I'm serious. God's up to some stuff here, and He wants to use you, so let me sum it up. I got to sum this up. You know, the church is you. Jesus is Lord near the church. The church is you. You're the image of Christ. Listen, every time people look at you and me, you know what they're looking at? Whether they know it or not, they're looking at the image of Christ. Now, if you're like me, sometimes I'm a poor image. Are you? Yeah, but they're still looking at the image of Christ. I don't understand how Jesus is so willing to live in such imperfect people. Do you? I'll get up here and preach, and then somebody will cut me off on I-10. And it's like, Lord, You told me to preach spiritual enlightenment and all of this, and I'm just throwing darkness at them. You know? I don't want them to die. I just want them hurt real bad. Aren't we like that? Is there anybody that you could think? No, I don't want you thinking that way. That you'd want to hurt real bad at Walmart? Okay, yeah. I mean, we're that way. Our responsibility, listen, our responsibility as Christians, we know that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We know that, to be witnesses. But our responsibility as Christians also is this, is to be the light that exposes darkness. We're to be the light of the world, and that means you and I am to be walking out here, and everywhere I go, where it's Walmart or HEB or wherever you go, and the light that comes out of me is there, and I am responsible to let that light shine and expose the darkness around me. That means that darkness will want to, what does darkness want to do when light hits it? Huh? Flee. I push it away. And you turn on a powerful little flashlight or something, and that beam pushes it, and that darkness wants to stay, but it's got to move. That's what we're here to do. And you don't realize that's what the devil will do. And what does the scripture say? What does the Bible say? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. Just because he's the darkness. No matter how he appears as an angel of light, he's dark. And you just, he runs. He's gone. This is powerful stuff. And you can begin to see him flee from the churches, from your homes, from where you live, and yes, from politics. I'm serious. The power is here. So let's wrap this up. And you said that twice already. Okay, third time's a good one. All right, it's the charm. So here it is. We all have this common thread of sin in our lives. Everybody accept this. Everybody has the common thread of sin. We're going to sin. Don't let it stop you. Because we also have the blood of Jesus that atones for our sins. Does it mean I just go out and sin because of blood? No. No, not just because I have the blood to cleanse me, but it means we're going to mess up. And it can be me getting mad at somebody. I kid about it, but it's the truth. The things I kid about, like on something about it, I just get upset. I just want everybody to drive like I do. Okay? Don't you? You said, no, not like you, Tony. I want them to drive like I do. You know what I mean? Well, all of us want them to drive like we do. And I'm so safe. I'm sure. I'm sure I'll be voted Texas best driver. Wouldn't you? You know, wouldn't the world be a better place if they were all like you? That's kind of how we get, isn't it? If they just thought like I did and voted like I did and worshiped like I did. And the Lord has to remind me once in a while, and how does He do it? This is how God, listen to me, this is how God keeps us humble and trust in Him. When we get a little bit out there and a little bit judgmental and a little overcritical, you ever notice this in your life? Something will happen that just humbles the daylights out of you. you get to thinking a little bit highly of yourself, and it will, won't it? And it'll just kick you good. And you're just going, and we'll say to ourselves, I didn't deserve that. And God said, yes, you did. That's why it happened. You know, quit judging other people. Stand your ground, but don't judge them to hell. Don't want to hurt them. So listen to this. We all have that common thread, but we have the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. And we have the amazing grace of God, listen to me, that will forgive us for adultery, lust, theft, lying, cheating. I just wrote some things down that I hear a lot. Cheating, divorce, desertion. How about if you deny him like Peter did? How about if you murder someone like Moses did? Think about these people that we idolize, we hold up here. Think about this. And God's grace was sufficient for them. The blood of Jesus cleansed them. And I think we're in good company. What about deceivers like Jacob and liars like Abraham? I don't know a man in this room that'd lie about his wife and let another man take her into his palace. But Abraham did because he was scared of Pharaoh and let Pharaoh take her in. Said, she's my sister. While his pants burned clean off of him. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You bet. Why would you do that? He feared for his life more than he cared about his own wife. Now, this is Abraham, the father of our faith. I don't just pick on him because Moses murdered a man. That man didn't do anything to him. He was hurting his people, but didn't do anything to him. He killed him. What about David? A man after God's own heart, and he takes Bathsheba and commits adultery. People do things. Stuff happens. We make the dumbest decisions sometimes. We get our eyes off the Lord just a fraction of a second. Look what happens. Now, just threw Noah in here because Noah gets left out of a lot of things. But Noah spent nearly 100 years, right? Or maybe more, building an ark. What's the first thing he does after that thing lands and they get out there? He grows him a little vineyard and gets some grapes and gets drunk. You ever go read that? We miss that stuff. Noah is delivered from this flood. And he plants the grapes must have grown pretty quick. They had to. That ground was really fertile by then. Anyway, what did he do? He made him some wine and got drunk. And said, thank you, Lord, for saving me in the water. Yeah, that's Noah. You know? Do we find ourselves in these people? But I want you to find yourself in something else. Every single one of them were forgiven. You're going to see every single one of them in heaven. God's grace, the blood of Jesus, atones for all those sins. And we hold them up and they're the heroes of our faith. They are. Because in spite of their sins, look how God used them. And I want to tell you this. In spite of your sins, look how God is using you. You're here today, and His love for you is never diminished. His very presence is in you. He has great and mighty things to do through you, and all He's saying is, call on me, just like you did Jeremiah, and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. But friends, listen to this. He'll do great and mighty things through you. Now, God's love is greater than any sin you've ever committed, and His power has already overcome the darkness. And you walk out of here and you ask God, I want to be the light and the salt, Lord. And I want you to open my heart and my mind to see the truth that sets me free. I want you to help me to see, Lord, with a discerning spirit. Not with the eyes out here that can deceive me or hear with the ears that can deceive me. But Lord, I want to see with the eyes of the heart. I want to hear with the ears of the heart. I want to look through what's on the outside and see what it's really like. I want to know the truth, God. Give me discernment and use me as a power and that salt and light to overcome this darkness and turn me on and let me shine bright, Lord, and the darkness will recede. And that's my job. That's what I'm here to do. That's what we're all here to do. And God, we're winners. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Jesus, you're the head of the church, and that means you're the head of me. I'm yours. You're mine, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Now, before I close, I had a prayer request. I haven't forgotten you. And you have a friend named Mario. And he has COVID. And in pretty serious condition. Did I get all that right? Okay. And you asked for prayer. And I want to do that as we're wrapping up here. Because that is a real thing. And it's out there. And I'm sorry that he has it. But we're going to pray for his healing and deliverance right here, right now. So, Father, as we close this up, we just take our authority and our position as the salt and light of this earth. That we're not darkness, but we're light. And we see through the devil who tries to trick people and come as an angel of light. And we rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. We commit ourselves to Jesus Christ as God's people, as God's chosen. And we're destined for glory. We're destined for heaven. And we have the power. And we have Jesus. And we have the authority in Jesus' name to walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. And we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And we pray in the authority of Jesus' name for this friend Mario to be delivered from that COVID. And we rebuke that in Jesus' name and strike it down and come against you, Satan. And you're behind all this stuff. And we rebuke and bind you from it, from this man and from everybody else. And from us all. And we pray the healing power of Jesus Christ in his life here and now. And Father, for that matter, we pray the healing power of Jesus Christ in every person's life in this place. For whatever's hurting, for whatever makes anyone insecure, for whatever struggles and needs may be there, whatever financial needs, whatever it is, God, we pray that you will meet the needs in abundance to overflowing. And we ask you to fill our hearts to overflowing with your presence, your spirit, your love, your power, your grace, your righteousness, your goodness. And we thank you for it all. And we just claim the blood of Jesus that cleanses and protects and delivers and frees. In Jesus' name, amen.